Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Goblin Hunter by Jim C. Hines. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With Dylan Lynch, Eric Messner, Kimberly Gilbert, Bradley Smith, and Nora Ashradi.
He can run into the battle and fall upon a spear. He can peek around a corner, catch an arrow in the ear, or be chewed up by a dragon he just happened to offend. There are 99 ways a goblin hero meets his end. From the poem, 99 Deaths of the Goblin Hero. Jig had muck duty again. His shoulder ached from hauling the muck pot around as he scooped gobs of green sludge into shallow indentations in the stone floor. So far, he had made it through his duties without splashing himself. Even the unlit muck blistered skin in a matter of seconds. When burning, the yellow and green flames were almost impossible to extinguish, which was why the goblins used the stuff in the first place. Unlike most muck workers, Jig had survived several years with his skin and lungs intact. Maybe that was why he was the only goblin his age who still got stuck with muck duty. More likely, it was because he was too scrawny and nearsighted to do anything else. And with cloudlings taking over the upper tunnels, the chief wanted twice as many lights, which meant twice as much time filling the fire bowls. Naturally, this gave the other goblins twice the opportunity to torment Jig.
Hey, Jig! Catch!
A hairy red-spotted fire spider the size of Jig's palm flew through the air. Jig caught the spider one-handed before it could splash into the muck pot. The fire spider reacted the way all fire spiders did when frightened. Jig's blue skin began to burn. Ropak, the bulky goblin who had thrown the unfortunate spider, pointed as Jig tried to fling the spider away. Jig's efforts only frightened the spider more, making it cling even tighter. Jig forced himself to hold still. The spider crawled up his arm, each step burning tiny blue blisters on his skin. Jig clenched his fists and gritted his teeth. The spider scurried up his neck. Jig's eyes teared as the spider burrowed into his tangled hair. There, at last, it began to cool.
Throw it back, Jig! We're gonna see what happens when you toss a fire spider in the privy!
Uh-oh! I think he's mad. What are you going to do, Jig? Are you a warrior or a runt?
Rupak! What have you done with my fire spider?
Uh-oh.
A wooden half door on the far side of the cavern swung inward, and Golatha stomped through. She was big enough to be part ogre, and she had cracked more than one skull with a huge wooden stirring spoon. She waved that spoon at Ropak as she advanced. Jig casually ran one hand through his hair, palming the fire spider. White egg sacs hung from the spider's legs. This must be a male, then. Once the females laid their eggs, the males carried the sacs away, scattering fire spiders throughout the mountain. The males were less aggressive, but they burned hotter than the females. Everyone else was staring at Ropak and Golaka. Jig loosened his belt pouch and stuffed the spider inside, beneath the dried bat wings he had swiped from yesterday's lunch.
Chief's having rat flambé tonight, and he wants his fire spider eggs!
That was the chief's spider?
Ropak pointed at Jig.
The runt has it! Kill him!
Ropak threw it at me, and then I ran away.
In a flash of inspiration, Jig pointed to the crack in the cavern wall that led to the surface.
"'Twas Cloudling territory."
"You lie."
Ropak lunged toward Jig. Volaka wound up and smacked her spoon into Ropak's neck.
"Damn Cloudlings! Sending their birds to steal everything that's not tied down! Bird-loving freaks are worse than humans."
Golaka grabbed both of Ropak's pointed ears in one hand and yanked him to his feet.
"If they're going to take my fire spider, you're going to take something from them. I want one of their birds. A big one. I'll roast it for the chief tomorrow.
But
if I don't get a bird, I'll serve him something else. Like goblin."
Jig folded his arms, trying not to smirk. That would be the last time Ropak threw anything at him. Actually, given what Jig knew about Cloudlings, today would probably be the last time Ropak did anything at all. Served him right.
"So get going! Both of you!"
"What? Both?
You're the one who let my spider get away! Come back without that bird, and I'll use your guts for sausage casings!"
Yellow-green lantern light glinted against the smooth obsidian walls as Jig followed Ropak up the tunnel. Jig's only weapon was a kitchen knife he had swiped a few months back. Golaka would have baked him alive for the theft of the knife if it hadn't been in such lousy shape. Ropak adjusted his grip on his long, nail-studded club.
"The only thing I can't figure out is whether to kill you before I get that bird or after."
"After would be good."
A pale blue snake, barely the length of Jig's hand, darted past. A large bird launched itself from the shadows near the ceiling and caught the snake in its claws. Ropak's club drew sparks as the nails hit the rock.
"I'd love to get my hands on one of those cloudlings, barging into our territory, driving us back like they own the place."
Jig stopped moving.
"What are you doing, Runt?"
Ahead, birds of various sizes covered the floor. From time to time, one would flap its wings and launch itself at an unseen insect or grub. Jig squatted on his heels and shuttered the muck lantern. Light dimmed to cracks. In the near total darkness, the birds appeared only as small, rustling shapes.
"What's the matter, Jig? Afraid of the birds?"
Ropak pushed Jig. The birds flew out of the way.
"Are you scared the cloudlings are going to get you?"
"They say cloudlings can steal your mind. That they're stronger than hobgoblins and meaner than dragons."
"What's the matter with you, Runt? We're goblins. We eat hobgoblins for dinner. And we laugh at tales of dragons."
"Right. We'll laugh because we know no self-respecting dragon would waste his time on mere goblins. And the only hobgoblins we eat are the old and the sick, the ones the other hobgoblins chase out of their homes to die."
Did Ropak actually believe the nonsense he was spouting? Maybe Ropak wasn't bright enough to be scared. If that was the case, then Jig was bright enough for both of them. As they moved closer, the birds lifted their heads to watch, their round eyes shining like black jewels. Jig had never seen a living bird before, only the corpses brought back by hunters, back before the cloudlings came. Birds didn't belong here. They were surface creatures, alien and unknown. The tunnel smelled musty, and the air moved slightly, carrying the cold, sharp scent of trees and green plants. They were closer to the open air than Jig liked. They crept onward. The birds flew away as they approached.
"Makes me hungry. You bring anything to eat? What's in the pouch?"
Bat wings.
Jig unknotted the ties and reached for one of the wings. The fire spider squirmed at the bottom. Jig's fingers brushed something sticky. Strings of spiderweb covered the wing. Jig turned and wiped them on his other hand, hoping Ropak hadn't seen.
"Here you go." "Why didn't I just give the spider back to Golaka?" "Well, aside from the fact that Golaka might have killed me anyway out of spite. But why bother to protect a spider?"
Even now, Jig found himself retying the pouch in a tight double knot, so Ropak wouldn't find out. Jig glanced at his hand. Small egg sacs hung in the midst of the gossamer tangle. As Ropak ate Jig's bat wing, Jig used his knife to scrape the web from his hand, then carefully wiped the blade on the inside of the pouch. The fire spider climbed up to reclaim its eggs.
Quiet, Brunt.
Ropak pointed. Farther on, the tunnel widened and split in two directions. The right tunnel led to the surface. The left dipped downward toward a shallow cavern with a small spring at the rear. Jig had been there only twice before, collecting ice during winter. Two cloudlings stood at the split, surrounded by birds. An oil-burning lantern sat on the ground between them, its flame an alien shade of orange.
These are what killed three hunting parties.
The cloudlings were taller than the average goblin. The tips of Jig's ears would come to just beneath their noses. They could have passed for skinny, exotically dressed humans. Both were garbed entirely in feathers. The one on the left wore trousers of black raven feathers, with a blue and white shirt that extended past his fingers. The other wore a simple gown of shimmering green, with a downy white trim at the cuffs and collar. Her hair was green as well. Their eyes were black and round as pearls. They were both barefoot. Ropak clutched his club in both hands.
I'll kill the male. You kill the female. Glocka can prepare an entire cloudling buffet tonight.
Ropak, we're only supposed to get a bird, not...
Club raised high, Ropak charged the two cloudlings. The cloudlings didn't look up at all. The man slipped one hand behind his back and drew a tiny crossbow. The dart whizzed into Ropak's cheek. He plucked it out, took three more steps, and fell flat on his face. Only now did the cloudlings glance up. Jig backed away. Not only were the cloudlings watching him, but every single bird did the same.
Can cloudlings see through the bird's eyes? That would explain how they shot Ropak.
A huge white owl spread its wings and advanced. Jig threw the muck lantern at the owl and fled. A dart bounced off the wall beside him. He crouched as he ran, covering his head with his hands and listening for pursuit. Farther on, he ducked into a side tunnel, slipped in a puddle, and smashed face first into a wall. Jig sat up, and white spots floated through his vision like spectral birds. He held his breath and perked his ears, but heard nothing. The cloudlings and their pets hadn't bothered to follow.
Why would they? Ropak is the warrior, not me. They'd probably use me as hummingbird food. Do hummingbirds eat goblins?
Jig wasn't sure. The smell of cooking meat made him freeze. His mouth began to water. As far as he knew, these tunnels went nowhere. But the smell was close. Jig leapt to his feet. He ripped his pouch free and tossed it onto the floor. Moments later, hot footprints made their way up his leg. Jig stomped out the flaming pouch, then scooped the fire spider into his hand. Jig must have landed on the pouch when he fell. The spider was lucky to be alive. The hairs on its legs still glowed with a fading red light.
Sorry about that. Thanks for cooking the last batwing, though.
Jig grabbed his pouch. Tiny black specks dotted the thin meat. The web had gone up with the spider's flames, but the eggs were immune and small enough to have survived Jig's frantic stomping. He brushed them back into the pouch. Then winced as the spider settled onto his scalp. But the spider no longer seemed frightened. Actually, the warmth was kind of comfortable.
Stupid Ropak. Stupid cloudlings. What am I supposed to do now?
If he went home, Golaka would feed him to the other goblins. If he went off to the cloudlings, they'd feed him to the hummingbirds. If he fled deeper into the tunnels, he could end up in the gullet of any number of fearsome creatures. Jig started to walk. His ears swiveled with each footstep, listening to the echoes for any sign of change in the tunnel. He brushed the fingers of one hand along the wall. He kept his other hand out in front, feeling for unexpected obstacles.
I don't suppose you'd know how we could get our hands on a curdling bird.
The spider didn't move.
Me either.
Jig reached a split in the tunnel. The left branch would take him deeper into the mountain toward home. The right led back to the cloudlings.
What does Galak expect me to do?
Jig walked until he started to make out the dim orange aura of the cloudlings' lanterns. Kneeling, he plucked the fire spider from his hair and set it on the ground by the wall.
Huh?
Stay here. All I have to do is grab a bird or two, then we'll get out of this place.
Summoning his courage, such as it was, Jig crept closer. He crawled up the slowly curving tunnel on his hands and knees until the light came into view. The two cloudlings still stood at the far end, along with...
Ropak?
Jig squinted and stared. Ropak stood with his club in both hands. But he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't dead. He still seemed to be breathing, at least.
So what is going on?
The white owl from before was sleeping in the middle of the tunnel. Jig drew his knife, and the owl's eyes snapped open. Jig froze. Most surface dwellers were blind in the dark tunnels of the mountain. No doubt, owls were equally blind. All he had to do was stay quiet, and the owl would never know he was there. The owl twisted its head, giving it an amused appearance. Both cloudlings spun. The male pulled a large egg from his pocket and hurled it over Jig's head. The tunnel behind him exploded into brilliant white light. Jig's vision blurred even worse than usual. He blinked as hard as he could, trying to make out the forms of the approaching cloudlings.
He came back for his friend.
Loyalty among goblins. Who would have guessed?
Jig threw his knife as hard as he could. It spun harmlessly between the cloudlings. He started to run, but made it only a short distance before the light became too bright, searing his eyes even through closed lids. He turned back and rubbed his eyes, squinting until he made out the shape of the owl coming to rest on the male cloudling's shoulder. A smaller shape, a blue jay, perched on the female's. The male, Jig mentally named him Owl, regarded him contemptuously.
Have you ever noticed how the ugliest creatures in the world live in caves?
You live in a cave?
The female, Blue Jay, sneered.
Only because those humans drove us out, uncivilized brutes.
What did you do?
Nothing, really. We stole a few things. Crops, tools, children.
Nobody told us this mountain was infested.
Infested? Oh, right. These really aren't the nicest tunnels. The hobgoblins drove us out of the best ones, deeper down. They're warmer, and there's no wind, and the underground lake is only a few minutes' walk. I could take you there, and all you'd have to do is wipe out the hobgoblins. We never go down there, and you'd have the best tunnels in the mountains.
We're not animals. We prefer to be near the sky.
Jig looked around for anything he could use as a weapon.
Don't worry, little goblin. We're not going to kill you.
You're not?
That would be rude. We'll let your friend Ropak do it.
Jig silently wished them both sharp rocks in their undergarments. Blue Jay pulled a small blue egg from a padded pouch at her belt. She removed a bit of wax from the end, then dipped a slender needle through a hole in the shell. Resealing the egg, she handed the needle to Owl, who jabbed it into Ropak's neck.
Ooh, I like this part.
Ropak, I want you to do me a favor. Kill that other goblin for me.
Ropak grinned and raised his club.
It takes over a month to prepare a mind control egg. Normally, we wouldn't waste the power on a goblin, but we wanted to see how well it would work. We may even send him back to your lair. Goblins are becoming a real nuisance, like little blue mites.
Jig backed into the wall. He glanced around, searching for anything. A stick, a rock, maybe a heavy crossbow with poisoned bolts. Aside from the fire spider cowering in the corner, the tunnel was bare. The spider was hiding behind a hastily strung, half-finished web, a ragged tangle of strands nearly a foot in diameter. Keeping one eye on Ropak, Jig knelt and carefully pulled the spider free. Ropak advanced. Jig couldn't tell whether he was really mind-controlled or not. Not that it mattered.
I'm going to enjoy this.
Hands trembling, Jig waited until Ropak was nearly within arm's reach.
Sorry about this. Remember, he's the one who tried to put you in my muck pot.
Then he flung the poor fire spider as hard as he could. It landed in Ropak's hair. Ropak scowled and raised his club.
That was Golaka's fire spider. You had it all along?
Jig leapt out of the way as the club crashed into the rock behind him. Ropak spun again, then stopped. He touched one hand to his head, where flames had begun to spread through his hair.
Get it off of me!
Ropak addressed the problem the same way he addressed every problem. He tried to smash it with his club. Owl rubbed his forehead.
Are all goblins this stupid?
Jig's gut was tight, but then he saw the spider scurrying away from Ropak's still-burning scalp.
What is that horrible thing?
Blue Jay pointed at the spider.
Kill it.
The Blue Jay needed no further urging. It flew straight at the spider.
No!
Jig grabbed Ropak's club and swung as hard as he could. He missed horribly. The momentum of the swing twisted him off balance, and he could do nothing but watch as the bird swooped toward the spider, claws outstretched. The fire spider ran past its web, then turned around almost defiantly, lifted one leg, and touched the nearest strand. The Blue Jay tried to swerve, but it was too late. Flaming webs stuck to its wings and legs, igniting its feathers as it flew past the spider and crashed to the ground. The burning bird fluttered into the air, bouncing off the wall in its panic. Blue Jay staggered and fell. Owl drew a nasty-looking curved sword from his belt and advanced toward Jig. This time, when Jig swung the club, he didn't miss. The now-dead Blue Jay went hurtling into Owl's feather shirt. Owl stumbled back, frantically trying to pat himself out, but the flames were spreading too quickly.
Water! Water! I need water! Water!
Jig tossed the club aside. He tore a scrap from Ropak's shirt and used it to scoop up the still smoldering Blue Jay. He grabbed the fire spider with his other hand and sprinted blindly down the tunnel. After a few steps, he realized nobody was following. Blue Jay hadn't moved. The death of her bird had apparently put her into some kind of shock. Whatever bond cloudlings shared with their birds, it had its disadvantages.
I wonder how long it will last. They'll post more guards, making it impossible for the hunters to get to the surface. And what will happen when the cloudlings come deeper into the tunnels, hunting down and killing every single goblin they find?
All of Jig's instincts ordered him to flee, but instead, he turned and began to creep back. He nudged Ropak's body with one toe. Ropak didn't move. Nothing happened. And Blue Jay was still in shock. He looked around at the remaining birds, many of which were still happily hunting for grubs and other bugs by the light of Ropak's still-burning body. Jig opened his pouch. Never taking his eyes off Blue Jay, he began to sprinkle fire spider eggs into the cracks in the walls. There had to be hundreds of the tiny eggs, each one a dull black bead. Within weeks, they would become hundreds of baby fire spiders. Eventually, the spiders would leave, seeking the warmth of the deeper tunnels. But that wouldn't happen until they were fully grown, and Jig doubted the cloudlings would stick around that long. Not with their precious birds going up in flames at every meal. Jig scurried into the darkness, the burnt bird clutched tightly in one hand, his fire spider in the other. He set the fire spider in his hair. grimacing at the feel of smudged soot on his face and hands.
Smudge?
He considered naming the fire spider something more warlike, like Bird Slayer or Ropax Bane. But Smudge just sounded right.
You'll have to stay in the pouch when we get there, Smudge. Otherwise, it's back to Galaka's kitchen.
Jig had gone into Cloudling Tunnels and come out alive. This should earn him a bit of respect. If nothing else, it would get the bigger goblins to leave him alone for a little while. And that was all Jig wanted.
Goblin Hunter is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2011, Jim C. Hines. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2014, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Nanette Savard, with Dylan Lynch as Jig, Eric Messner as Ropak, Kimberly Gilbert as Galaka, Bradley Smith as Owl, Nora Ashrati as Blue Jay, and Smudge as himself. Directed by Nanette Savard. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers. Short story adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. The Goblin theme was composed by Thomas Hogan. If you enjoyed Goblin Hunter, look for the Goblin Trilogy, Goblin Quest, Goblin Hero, and Goblin War. Available at Road Stops Everywhere and at www.graphicaudio.net, where you can also download our handy Access app for Apple and Android devices.